Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. We have a great show lined up with some very special guests. So let's start with the introductions. Hall of Famers across the screen here. We'll start with Jason Kramus and Jim Morgans. This year's Lehigh Valley National Hall of Fame inductees. Tom Redding, the chair of the National Hall of Fame, and a Hall of Famer in many different levels, senior sports writer of The Morning Call, Mr. Keith Groller.
Well, I've been covering this particular Hall of Fame event for many years, and I got to tell you, not just because two of the gentlemen are here, but this is some class with Jason Kramus, Jimmy Morgans, Danny Persa, Jeff Buskirk, and Herbie Burrell, who has done a fantastic job. This is a really, really good special. Good group, and it should be a special night on May the 5th at the Northampton Community Center.
Yeah, we want to talk about that. We want to hear some great stories from Jason and Jim in particular. Dan Persa will be joining us via the phone from out in Chicago in just a few minutes. But, Tom, why don't you talk about this year's inductees class and about how special the list of inductees, in fact, are.
Well, maybe I should explain how we do this. I have a committee. There's like 6-8 guys on the committee, and around Christmas we put a list together. Mm-hmm. And the list is generated by guys on the board, the National Football Foundation board. They look at people that they know or think they should be in, and then they give me the list, and the hardest part is finding the info on these guys. It's not so easy anymore. I mean, you think it would be easy on that computer, yeah. but it takes some time. But so I put together a little biography of the guys, and then I give it to the committee, and they vote. And then the top, usually we put 6 guys in. This year, two of the guys we were talking about earlier that might have been in, I'm not going to use their names because it's protect the innocent.
Yeah. And Jim, you've coached a lot of players that have come into the Lehigh Valley Football Hall of Fame. And, of course, you have to wait till you're retired to be eligible to go in. So what's it like for you to see so many people that you've coached and now you're going to be one of them in the Hall of Fame?
Well, first of all, it's an unbelievable honor, you know, that I've been selected to be in this. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, the committee and Tommy. I know Tommy well. He's a Central Catholic guy like I was, and he's a football player at Central. And I actually coached Jason in a McDonald's game.
Yeah.
At one of the games, you know, and that kind of stuff. And coached against a lot of guys like Danny Persa and guys like that. So it's a tremendous honor, and it's a lot of fun.
I think these guys are smart because attendance is always an issue, and I know you like to get more people. I think just by you having your grandchildren and your grandchildren, they're going to fill up the community.
That'll be a treat, believe me. They'll all be there.
The last story I did on you, my good friend, it was when you went into the Louisiana College Hall of Fame, and that was a special time. And you brought everybody down there. Right. Everybody was down there. It was a great time, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was so much fun. The kids, we were down there for 3 or 4 days. I still get emails and stuff like that from people down there, you know, talking about our grandchildren and how they did and how they acted and that kind. They were going around stealing all the mints off tables and that kind of stuff. I mean, the oldest one is 11. So
hopefully a lot. I mean, I know your family kind of up and down the East Coast a little bit, yep. But I believe hopefully everybody's going to make it on the 5th.
Yeah, they'll all be
terrific.
Yep.
Terrific.
Jason, this isn't your first Hall of Fame induction. You were a Pennsylvania Track and Field Hall of Famer, too. So
correct.
What's it like now to go in for football?
Well,
in your hometown?
It's definitely, like Jim had said, it's a fantastic honor to be named among the Lehigh Valley greats. You know, to go in with a class with Jim and Dan Persa, I know a lot about those guys. Not too much about Buskirk. I know the Buskirk name from Whitehall. Mm-hmm. But just to be associated with them and be in the same level, it's very humbling, you know. And when I got the call from Tom to say that I was being, you know, selected, I was taken aback, you know. I didn't know that I had that type of resume to be included amongst the Lehigh Valley. So it's great to be recognized amongst the football world and to go in with these guys. It's fantastic.
Tell us a little bit about your era with the Concrete Kids. Because it's got a great history.
Yeah, it definitely does. Andy Mulaski took over as the head coach in 1986, and that's when I started coming up through the high school ranks. And from what I understand is we had the most winningest record in the East Penn Conference for Northampton during that time. And teams back then, it was just a gauntlet every week. Allen was great. Dierf was great. Easton, Becca, I mean, Parkland, all the names that you know now, but some of the names that have fallen off, every week you had to be ready to go. You know, in this day and age, you have some games that are kind of a little easier in this conference, but when you look back at the 80s, every game that you played, you know, Peaberg was in our league at that point. Mm-hmm. And going down there,
it was fantastic.
And just every game, you had to be ready to go. And, you know, we didn't have games where we played other, you know, from other divisions. It was, you know, the full 11-game slate. And then districts finally came back around or finally got instilled when I was in a junior. That was the first year of it.
Got it started.
You know, exactly right. And we just missed it by a game my junior year. And I think maybe by a game or two my senior year, you know. But, yeah, I mean, back then in the 80s, the East Penn Conference was fantastic.
Yeah. And you went on and had a great career at Maryland. What was that adjustment like? Because I know you were redshirted your first year.
Correct.
And then you didn't play a whole lot your
redshirt freshman, right.
Yeah, your first year. But then after that, I know you had your first touchdown, I think you were wide open against Pitt.
University of Pittsburgh, right? Yeah. It was first play I got in, first pass that was thrown to me. Went for, I think, maybe about a 23-yard touchdown at University of Pittsburgh in their old stadium. But just the speed of the game was something that I had to get used to, and just how fast everybody was in relation to the high school game. And then, obviously, the playbook. Didn't really have a playbook at Northampton, never really had understood how to read a coverage. Maybe understood what cover two or cover three was. But when you have disguised coverage and you have to read this guy coming on a blitz and all the adjustments was just, it took a while to understand, you know, at that level. And then playing in the ACC was just, you know, a fantastic experience.
What are your thoughts on them? Because I still can't get used to it. I know it's a couple of years now. I can't get used to Maryland being in the Big Ten and not being an ACC school.
Yeah, me neither. I understand why they did it. I don't like it. I'm an ACC guy. I love the ACC rivalries that they had. But I wish they would have stuck in the ACC. I understand why they didn't. They lost a lot of sports that they got back when they joined the Big Ten. And yeah, but yeah, like you, I'm an ACC guy.
Have you come back home to Northampton? Are you from the Valley now?
Yeah, I live in Allentown right now. I'm working in Northampton as the director of the Northampton Rec Center. So I've been back in the Valley pretty much almost since I graduated.
What do you think about Northampton right now? I'm a little, my grandmother, first full disclosure, my grandmother, class of 1934.
Wow.
So I have history.
Okay.
The story that people know, my grandparents on the Gruller side met on the Copley-Northampton Bridge. So I know that town well. I've covered the Northampton Caddy game more than any other game.
Sure.
And I would hate to see that go one day. But anyway, Here's just thoughts on where they're at right now. The facility is unbelievable.
Oh,
they have maybe the best facility in the Valley. Everybody raves about that field and the locker room situation, but they seem to struggle. What are your thoughts on that? Because I know you're in that town. You have the connections to that.
Oh, absolutely. I see all the old guys from Northampton working every day at the rec center. And, you know, right now I think, you know, and Jim can attest to this, is, you know, winning breeds winning. And they're not winning a lot right now. So I think a lot of the kids, the attitude that at school is, well, why am I going to put up with this? You know, do all the activities in the off season, the lifting, the running, the passing scrimmages, if we're not going to win. So the kids that you have out now, the core group of kids is good, but I think you're just missing that extra additive that we used to have there. The number of kids, the number of athletes that used to be on that football team. You know, just in my years there, we had myself, Ryan Grube, who went to Penn State, you know, two Division I guys. We had a number of guys to go on and play college football. Steve Hines, Jim Flipovitz, Mike Yadish. We had all league guys, Steve Bodner. You know, we just had a tradition there that was built, you know, back in the day, what you're talking in the 30s, when Al Erdicy built the foundation of that football program. And it just continued on. But ever since, I think, the Mountain Valley Conference is just things started to go a little bit, you know, south for them. How that's going to turn around, I don't know, but, you know,
it's... Now, there's some talk that some people, not a lot of people, but some people think, you know, as you know, they're in two different divisions here. We have basically the Lehigh Valley,
right,
and then we have the North Division,
sure,
which right now is basically the old Mountain Valley Conference along with Allen and Dierfin,
right,
and on a rotating basis, Beck and Central up
right,
there.
Right.
And when the story is when you go up there as a Becker or a Central, you're going to get a lot of wins. But you're not going to get the crowds because they don't draw in Monroe County like they do in the Valley. So there has been some talk about maybe Northampton becoming one of those nine schools in that. I'm not sure.
That would be a great idea, I would think.
Maybe at this point, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm not too much involved with the football aspect of that, you know, as far as, you know, where that is going to go with Northampton being in what division. But, you know, that I've heard that talk as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know.
As long as they keep that game. I love that game.
The caddy
game. I know sometimes it's not the, you know, maybe the biggest attendance. And certainly it's the little brother to the big one in Easton every year. But I want that game to continue.
Isn't Northampton a smaller school as opposed to the city schools?
Beck and Central are much smaller, and I believe even Whitehall's much smaller, but it's probably maybe the fourth lowest. It's certainly not nearly as large as Parkland or even an Allen or Liberty or Easton.
Yeah, graduation numbers I know have gone down there. Yeah. You know, we graduated
that could be a problem.
Over five.
It's being landlocked in the little borough.
But, you mentioned those names. I mean, I've covered a lot of Northampton football over the years, and the guys that were most successful, ironically, I think of Whitehall first, Andy Molesky, who really got it going at Whitehall, and then John Bendekovich, who came in and also had a lot of success. But, Robbie Molesky was another product.
Yeah,
Northampton
was,
High School.
Yeah, exactly. He was 2 years ahead of me.
They certainly had their share of good
athletes. The history's there.
Yeah.
I mean, even when Tico came in,
Tico Johnson,
he did a fantastic job, and he utilized his players to the max, you know, what they could do, because we were there as a staff right before Tico. We didn't have success, but when he came in, he turned that program around in a heartbeat, and he did a fantastic job with them. So it has been there, but it hasn't been there for a while, and hopefully it turns around soon.
Our special in-studio guests, Jason Kremus, Jim Morgans, 2017 Lehigh Valley National Football Hall of Fame inductees. Tom Redding, of course, with the National Football Hall of Fame Lehigh Valley chapter. And in just a moment, we're going to be joined by another inductee, Dan Persa, on the phone lines. But as we head to break, our first feature of the evening, the Saucon Valley boys and girls track teams posted a major tri-meet victory last week. Sports Talk videographer Mike Kingsley was on hand for highlights and interviews.
Actually, today was the first meet that the boys won. They beat Notre Dame Green Pond, and that was a huge win for us today. And in addition to that, we had a lot of PRs, a lot of best times today in the boys' event. So I was thrilled with their performance all the way around.
Today, I couldn't be more proud of our team. You know, we've just really improved this whole season. Everyone's times are dropping. You know, I'm really proud of everybody. Today, I did really well. I ran the 800. And then I did the 4x4. It was kind of like a workout day for me today, so it was a pretty good race.
I think overall we had to come out with the win today, and that's what we did. We really came together. All of us as a whole, we keep like doing bonding things, and we just keep coming closer, which is like bringing our team just to, I don't know, we really want the league title this year, and it's just bringing us closer to getting it.
I have athletes that work really hard, and they bring their A game every day to practice. So adjustments, we're still finding our ways with some of the jumpers. I had the two boys that ran first and fourth on that relay team. They just came off the baseball field down there. So they played a game of baseball, and they came up, and they're really excited about the 4x4 relay, and we're excited to have them. So they add a whole new element to the boys' team being here.
I'm not really sure how the team did today. I just got here from baseball, but it seems like we did pretty well. Picked up a win over Notre Dame, so that's always good. But I just think any team really in the Clinton League, it can be good. So yeah, any team we have to take seriously. So.
What if then?
And I'm very grateful to my coaching staff because they're here every day, and we're in the trenches together here. And I always tell them we're all in this together. So we're thrilled to be a staff together and working with this great group of athletes and parents.
I'm just really happy. It's my senior year. I'm ready to put it all out there and just see what we can do.
Hey, rolling.
And we just want to give a quick shout out to all the student athletes out there. You keep it going.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, the 2017 Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony preview show. We're happy to have on Tom Redding, as we do every year, along with this year's inductees, Jim Morgans, Jason Kramus, and joining us via the phone line now from Liberty High School and Northwestern University, Mr. Dan Persa. Dan, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure, Dan. Thanks for joining us. So, first of all, we'll ask you, what are your thoughts on coming back to the Lehigh Valley and being inducted into the Lehigh Valley chapter of the National Football Hall of Fame this year?
It's, you know, obviously a huge honor. Any time you're entering, you know, a Hall of Fame with as many great names that are going in this year, you know, including Coach Morgans, it's obviously a special honor. So excited to get back home, see everybody, and excited for the ceremony.
I was going to ask you, what's it like? What was it like going against Coach Morgans' defense? And then, Jim, maybe you can talk about what you tried to do to try to stop Dan Liberty in that vaunted Liberty offense when he was there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Coach was kind of a living legend when we were going against him both at Freedom and at Parkland. So, you know, you always had tough teams, tough kids, and always had good battles with them.
And, our, you know, when we went against Danny, our plans didn't work very well. You know, and so just leave it at that.
Okay. Danny, I want to just ask you, we have the draft in Philadelphia. And there's, I mean, you can't turn on the TV set around here without getting some draft coverage. You miss it in Chicago? You're in that Chicago area out there, and I know it was a big thing for Chicago the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, I think it was a huge success in Chicago the past couple of years, and the city really embraced it. We definitely miss it. It's a huge event. It's great kind of publicity for the city, but obviously having it close to home at Philadelphia is pretty awesome too. A lot of my friends are heading down there tonight, so hopefully they live up to Chicago's to what Chicago did the last couple of years.
You're coming back. You always come back, and I usually try to catch up with you ever so briefly because I know you're busy that day. You coming back this spring for Jason Brader's fast performance camp that he usually has over where the Bethlehem Steelers play?
Yep. We've partnered on that camp for the past, I think it's going to be like the fourth or fifth year this year. So it's June 3rd this year, so we're really looking forward to it, and I'll be back in town for that. You know, it's just always good to get back around the kids and the coaches and try to leave some sort of imprint on Lehigh Valley, even though I don't live there anymore.
Well, speaking of the Lehigh Valley, I know you've always taken a tremendous amount of pride, and that's why this is a great honor for you. You are Lehigh Valley, and I know that you're out there in Chicago and Northwestern University and all that, but you're always going to represent the Valley. It's always in your heart what the competition meant Friday night. The Friday night lights went on here at Bethlehem Area School District Stadium and around the Valley, and you've always, I know that means a lot to you, and you're always going to carry that with you the rest of your life.
Yeah, definitely. I think Coach Morgans can speak to it. There's, you know, there's very few things that were more fun than those Friday nights. And, you know, as I went on to, you know, Northwestern and talked to, you know, guys that were across the country coming in to play with me, it's just they had a different experience. And I think, you know, we knew it was special when we were there. But, you know, talking to kids from Illinois and you know, Florida and Texas and California and all the other states, it's pretty special what Pennsylvania has and specifically the Lehigh Valley. Just the following and support we get from the different schools and the kids that come out and the coaches like Coach Morgan. So it definitely means a lot to me to come back and be inducted.
You know, earlier in our show, we were talking about the adjustments of going from high school to college and how tough that is for most athletes. You didn't have much of a problem there. You had success at Northwestern very early on in your career. What was that initial adjustment like, and how did you expedite the process so that you got so much playing time early as an underclassman at Northwestern?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd agree with that. I adjusted very quickly. It's a huge adjustment. Anytime you go from high school to college, it's you know, everything's moving faster. People are, you know, you come from a place where you're you try to be the best player, and then you go and you're united with 100 of the best players across the country. And all of a sudden, you know, every mistake, every split second is magnified. And I think that took a little bit of adjusting too, because at Liberty, you know, sometimes I was a little bit better than some of the competition and I could get away with some of the things. But at college, you know, in college, you just, you know, you can't, you know, everybody's their all state player of the year. Everybody's, you know, trying to get to the NFL. So the competition is that much higher and the speed's that much faster and the guys are that much passionate. So I think the adjustment's tough, but you know, once you get used to it, it brings the best out of best out of you. And, you know, any competitor would say, you know, anytime that the level of play goes up, you know, it brings the best out of you.
Danny, I just wanted to, again, go back in time and go back to those Liberty days a little bit. That was a special era. I mean, for you to take a team to this, and I know it's probably a little bit of a negative in the sense that you didn't win, but the fact that you had two unbelievable runs to the state championship game, there's hundreds and thousands of people who play the sport of football and never get the opportunity to play in a state championship game. You got the opportunity to play in two. I know that there's some special memories, and tell us about how much you think about those opportunities and those big nights.
Yeah, you know, I think the cool thing about what we did, and not and trying to be a little bit modest here, but the cool thing about what we did was, you know, Liberty never, you know, it had some decent history, but it wasn't, you know, the Central Catholics or the Bethlehem Catholic, or, you know, it didn't have this storied history. And I think we had a really good group of guys and coaches that really banded together, and we're like, you know what, let's try to do something special. You know, we looked up to, you know, growing up, coming up through Pee Wee, looked up to Coach Morgan's and the teams he had at Central, and then, you know, some of the teams at Becca, and, you know, the teams at Parkland that were able to make runs. And, you know, we just had a special group of guys that, you know, invested a ton of time in relationships and building their skill to put it on the field. And it was the most fun. I mean, college is a blast, but, you know, playing high school ball with your best friends that you've known your whole life was the time of your life. And to be able to perform at that high of a level, and, you know, even though we didn't win, it was still a great time.
Well, Danny, that was a remarkable era for Liberty High School when you consider all the Division I people that played, including Jarrett West, who went up to Syracuse. And I don't even want to list them because I'm going to miss a couple. But Liberty very recently had the distinction. I'm not sure what's up with Devin Street, but we had a player from Liberty in the NFL, Devin Street. We had a player in the NBA, Darren Hilliard. And we had a baseball player, Matt McBride. Unbelievable.
Right.
You know, and Liberty, you're right, for many, many years kind of overshadowed by some other schools, but Liberty can hold its head up high and say, hey, look, we have produced our share of great players and great teams.
Yeah, no, I think another point there is we're all really close. Like, I'm very – grew up with Devin Street, grew up with Jarrett West, grew up with Darren Hilliard. Matt McBride is one of my sister's best friends. So it's a pretty close-knit group, and I think that's what makes it pretty special.
Dan, before we let you go, just your thoughts when you first got the call about being inducted into this year's Hall of Fame. What were some of the memories that came to your mind first? And actually, now as you're getting closer to that May 5th date, you know, as you get closer, do you start thinking about some of the good old days and your high school days? And if so, what memories have kind of come to the forefront?
Yeah, no, I think to your first question, when I got the call originally, I was obviously very honored and a little shocked because you don't put yourself in the classes of the Coach Moore. Coach Morgan's and the Dan Coppins, and just because you idolize those people growing up. And then when, you know, it's obviously very exciting to get the call, but after that, you do think about all the people that that helped you get where you were. I mean, people get inducted to the Hall of Fame, but, you know, they should be inducted along with their coaches and their friends and their teammates that really got them there. I think football is the ultimate team sport, and to say that, you know, that I did this alone would be completely untrue. I have, you know, so many, from Coach Motzman to, you know, the guys I played with, so many people helped me along the way. And, you know, it just made me appreciate them more than anything as you know, football being a team game like it is.
You mentioned it, football being a team game. How much do you miss it? The guys I talked to years after they get out of the game said, well, we don't really miss the practices. We don't necessarily remember the wins and losses, but we miss the relationships, the feeling in that locker room before a big game, the bond that you share, the unity, and even the post game, coming in that locker room as a team, whether it's celebrating a huge win or going through a tough loss. Your thoughts on how much that game meant to you and how much you miss it?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Like you said, you forget about, I mean, nobody misses practices and getting beat up or anything like that, but you miss the guys in the locker room, you miss your friends, you miss the coaches, and you know, the highs and lows. I mean, running out to a stadium of 100,000 people, there's very few things that can match that feeling. So definitely miss that. But, you miss, like, kind of the immediate judgment of a win and a loss more than anything else. You know, like you said, coming to the locker room, you know, you, either won, you lost. There's no gray area. You know, people can make excuses, but whatever happened on the field stays on the field, and you know, you really see true colors of people come out, and you know, you miss competing at that high of a level, at that high of stakes, more than anything.
Well, Dan, we really appreciate your time. I know you have an event later this evening, so we appreciate you spending a few minutes with us, and congratulations again on your Hall of Fame induction.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
See you, Dan.
Take care.
Dan Persa, member of the 2017 Lehigh Valley Football Hall of Fame, and we're going to have more conversation with Jim, Jason, and Tom when we come back. But right now it is Keith's favorite part of the show. It's called Growler's Grumblings, where he sounds off and talks about any sports topics on his plate.
I keep telling you what my favorite part of the show is. I can't wait for it at the end.
Okay, the credits. When you want to thank all of our crew?
No. Real
you
quick.
You want to thank our crew?
I want to get back to our gentleman here, so I'm going to keep this brief. First of all, the PAAA proposal was ridiculous this week. Do I agree that we need to maybe stop some of the movement? Absolutely. But you can't say all transfers to public schools are fine and transfers to private schools are going to require. I mean, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to fly. I do think we need to maybe stop some of the movement, especially some of the shopping that goes on with the parents. But anyway, I just wanted to get that out there. The PAAA, they're trying to do some things to avoid this AAU concept that has taken over high school athletics. And I think that's a good thing. But that proposal, certainly not going to fly. All right. And the other thing is, you may have heard, read, or just heard about ESPN with massive layoffs. And I think 100 people lost their jobs. And some of them you may have liked, some of them you may have not have liked, and you're glad they're gone. But look, it, we're all in this business, this media business, because we love it. And I'll tell you what, my heart goes out to those people who lost their jobs, because we're all just honored and thrilled to be in a position to tell our stories, to tell your story, to tell the story of a great team, a great athlete, a great coach. And it's a privilege, and it's an honor to be able to do this. This is all I've ever wanted to do. I've been able to do this through the newspaper, radio, and TV for 35 years now. And when you read about people losing their livelihood, and they're going to be fine. Most of them are going to move on. They're going to be fine and dandy, and many of them are ex-athletes, and I'm sure they have nice bank accounts. But it's an honor and a privilege, and when we read about these layoffs, it shakes us all. And it reminds us how lucky we are to be able to come into your homes, whether it's via the newspaper, whether it's via the radio airwaves, the internet, or on TV. So I just keep that in mind as you may be celebrating or lamenting the loss of some of those ESPN personalities who lost their jobs this week.
All right, now as we had to break another feature this evening, Phillies outfield prospect Robin Quinn showed flashes of electric baseball ability during his time in the majors last year. Now back in AAA, we had a chance to catch up with Roman and ask him about last year's experiences and also his thoughts on his goals to get back.
It was everything I dreamed of and more, man. I got up there and it was just like another different level. And just being up there made me hungrier and made me want to get back up there and stay. Just the fans was like always into the game. I can remember when we went to Citi Field in New York and played against the Mets. And the fans was just like trashing you, man, and it was funny. My goal is to stay healthy and just to get a full season of the bats and take advantage of my experience here. Man, I'm a guy that if I have any type of question, I'm gonna ask you, and I want to learn. I want to learn about the game and learn what they think about different things and different situations. So I just ask them. The good thing is, man, like we all came up through the farm system together, and I played with most of these guys in every level, and we got that team chemistry, man. We all like brothers in here, and it's a good feeling. Whatever they want me to do for the team to help contribute, I will do.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, our final segment with these Football Hall of Famers. And, of course, make sure you read The Morning Call either online or by paper, as Keith will have coverage of the induction ceremony May 5th, starting at 6:30. And, again, tickets are available. You can get in contact with Tom.
Well, yes, I had to put a number in today. She gave me 10 extra seats, so I do have a room for a couple. If they want to call me, 484-515-1409. So I take some this weekend.
And as we always say, you know, if you don't like these guys, just come for the meal. I mean, it's an unbelievable meal. Now, I happen to like these guys, and I actually like to eat, so it's a
perfect. Was that a compliment? I'm losing track. Are you setting these guys up or not?
I've been way too many dinners at the Northampton Community Center, but I always try to, that place in particular, I always try to make sure I get there.
We got to have the salad.
Salad's great.
Yeah.
Bacon dressing.
I got one thing I want to say.
Yeah. Go right ahead.
Ed Waddle, our president,
exactly
would be,
yeah.
Ed Waddle would be upset with me if I didn't mention membership. We're always looking for membership. We have about 100 members right now. This year we did something new. You will get a one-year membership as an inductee in the Hall of Fame. Now, we'd like you to keep your membership, but you will get one this year. So, and we give a membership to every kid that goes to our banquet for the
Scholar Athlete. Scholar Athlete Dinner.
They get a one-year membership too, which gets a number over 100. Mm-hmm. So, Ed would love me to tell you that we're looking for members, and we're looking for some board members, too. A lot of gray heads in the board.
Huh. Well, I'm going to tell you what. This is a great organization that goes way back, many, many years. I mean, some of the people who helped organize
the banquet is 57.
Jay Bernie Crum was one of the first guys, and Al Erdicey. There's some legendary people that got this thing rolling. And
Frank Pizzetti.
Yeah, I mean, I attend, you know, I try to attend now both the Scholar Athlete Dinner and your Hall of Fame, and I hope you will get that new blood. I hope you will get new members, because you just do a lot of good things, and that banquet that you have in March now is one of the top nights of the year.
Well, it was the first one. Mm-hmm. I was a member back in 66 at Central Catholic. I was a Central Catholic Scholar Athlete. That's how I got involved in this organization.
Did you beat out Jimmy? Aren't you a 66?
Well, Jimmy was a senior when I was a sophomore.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're 64. You're with my man Tommy Young, 64. Right. Okay.
Yep.
They were nasty to us in the locker room, though.
Not Jimmy.
No, not Jimmy.
You know, I asked Dan this question. I want to ask you guys. What are some of the, you know, obviously you're reflecting a little bit as you get closer to the induction ceremony. What were some of the people you remember and some of the moments that stick out in your mind? Jason as a track athlete and a football athlete, and Jim as a player and as a football coach.
Well, I mean, certainly at Northampton, you know, growing up, living in town, and, you know, having my dad go through the program, my uncles go through the program, it was just ingrained in you about the Northampton Caddy game. That was the game that you always wanted to be a part of. And just going to that game every Thanksgiving, and, you know, the outcome of the game determined how the rest of your day was going to go. So I couldn't wait until it was my turn to be able to play in that game. So that is certainly, you know, the first thing that comes to mind when I think back of memories of, you know, my playing years at Northampton. One of the other ones that stick out, unfortunately, is what didn't happen our senior year. Ranked preseason number one in the Lehigh Valley. I think we were pretty highly ranked in the state that year. Started off great, 3-0, but in that third game, our quarterback goes down, Jim Flipovitz, and we just kind of lost our identity and ended up, I think, 7-4-1, and just, you know, a disappointing year to what could have been possibly, you know, making a run like the Liberties did. You know, not sure if that would happen, but we certainly, I think, we had the talent to do that. So, unfortunately, that sticks out in my head is what could have been if, you know, we could have remained healthy that year with the talent that we had. I think was, you know, maybe some of the best that ever came through Northampton.
Do you regret playing in that era when the state championships? I mean, I think they started in '88. You were in, what year did you graduate?
I graduated in '89. So my senior year, '87.
That was the first year of the state championships. The first year they had them.
Yeah.
Before that, it was all about your league. It was about Thanksgiving Day game.
Right.
Now everybody just wants to qualify for districts and then, of course, get into districts and then maybe make a run at states. Yeah. It's really the dynamic has really changed.
Oh, exactly. I mean, you still have the Easton Peber game, which is huge. You know, Northampton Caddy, I think, has lost a little luster. I think it's bigger on the Caddy side than it is on Northampton side. I think Northampton has lost that sense of tradition, you know, with families that haven't stuck around. You know, well, I mean, I don't even live in town anymore, but just a lot of people have left. So that has diminished that game a little bit. But how many games were on Thanksgiving back in the day? You know, East Stroudsburg, right. Stroudsburg, Whitehall, Emmaus, Penn Ridge, I think was
Quakertown. Yeah.
You know, just so many games. Bethel, those tradition, What was that?
That from Allen?
Exactly. Yeah, just right. Those tradition-rich games that are gone anymore, you know, for, you know, getting into the playoffs. And I understand that.
Well, one of the things I've noticed is that having covered that game for many, many years, you now are picking up the Emmaus fan who wants to see a game,
right.
A Whitehall person.
Right.
Parkland comes over, and a lot of Parkland fans come over. But your thing is, my friend, how many times did you tell me we want to be practicing on Thanksgiving morning?
Yeah,
you had your own game, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why, Keith,
because I was jealous of these guys
right.
that got to play.
Right.
So we couldn't play on a game on Thanksgiving. Of course, you know, where I was and where the schools I was associated with, you know, and that. But that was always a big deal for us. You know, we'd...
Seeing that in the candle in the PPL building, right?
At the PPL building, right? And seeing either the Christmas tree or the candle. But I went to a whole bunch of their games, mm-hmm. and I was at that game where Jimmy Flip got hurt. I was at that football game, and that was a shame. It was over at Liberty.
Yeah.
You guys had a heck of a football team, and you know, knowing Tommy Flipovitz, he coached with me for years and that sort of thing. So.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you, Jim, we were out of it last year for the first time in about 50 years, something like that.
Yeah.
And how did you handle it? How did you get through, you know, seeing the teams like a Becca and a Parkland in particular make a playoff run? How much do you feel like, man, I wish I was out there part
of it? Well, you know, I think I got out, Keys, when it was time to get out. And the guy that I knew was going to take over for me Timmy Munsman, I knew that the kids were going to be in great hands. They kept a whole bunch of the coaches that were there with me, you know. So it was going to be a smooth transition. I just felt it was time for me to go. I had a great football team. I had great kids. My last year, we went to the state championship game and. Unfortunately, came up short in that football game, but
we lost to a great team.
And we lost to a good football team. But it was time, and it took me a while. I kept going to Richie, and I talked to him a couple times about it. And he said, "Hey, you're as long as you take your time, and when you make up your mind, you let me know. You want to stay here? You can stay as long as you want," which is pretty awesome to. Come from your boss, you know, that kind of thing, you know, and that sort of thing. But,
and I think I might have asked you this. We've done so many interviews over the years.
Yes.
What's the thing you're most proud of, Jim Morgans?
What we accomplished. When I first started coaching at Central Catholic, I mean, this is something that I'm going to talk about at the thing. As you know, I had 50-some losses. I don't know exactly how many, but it was in 7 years, 50 losses out of 77 games. We didn't have playoffs or anything at that time. So getting out then and then going and looking at the other people and the way they did things and then coming back and staying with it. I mm-hmm. knew I wanted to be a head coach. I think it was too early for me to be a head coach. When I first got the job, I think I was too young. I didn't really, I played in Louisiana. I didn't play around here with and get to know guys around here that I could have maybe gotten on my staff. I'm not making an excuse. That's what I kind of looked at, you know, and that sort of thing. Coming back the second time around, I mean, God bless Jim Hodrick. I mean,
yeah, a lot of faith
what a leap of faith he took. Yeah. You know, that, okay, here's a guy who has, you know, as I said, 50-some losses, and we'll rehire him and see what he can do this time around, you know what I mean?
But I know we got to wrap up, but, I mean, besides the championships, you won two, you also took two other teams to the finals. How about all the guys the love of that you've instilled in people like Tim Agoria is now over at Lehigh, and the other quarterback, the first quarterback, who was from the '93 team.
Oh, Timmy Kramsey.
Timmy's
down
at. Goodness.
Yeah, he's.
I'm getting old when I can't remember.
Yeah,
these names.
I'm the same way. Timmy's down at Sam Houston State. They got a heck of a schedule. I stay in contact with.
So many people involved in coaching that you passed on your love of the game.
Robbie Dvorak is at Baylor.
Oh wow.
Adam Gristak is up at Syracuse. I'm very, very proud of that and our players. And
Well, thanks so much for your time. Congratulations on your induction. You. Thanks for sharing your stories with us tonight.
Thanks.
All the best to you guys.
Jim Morgan and Jason Kremas, the 2017 Hall of Fame inductees. Glenn Consor will be back to talk NBA playoffs when we return. Welcome back to Sports Talk. We're very pleased and honored to be joined on the phone lines this segment by Wizards announcer and NBA analyst Glenn Consor. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us and welcome to Sports Talk.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. Congratulations on a nice win last night. That was a great Game 5, the Wizards taking on the Hawks. 3-2 series lead, a four-point win. Beal with 27 points, Wall 20 points, 14 assists last night. But I was really impressed by the defense. What were some of your thoughts coming out of that Game 5 win for the Wizards?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been the improvement in Game 5 was defensively the Wizards were able to kind of do what they've been struggling doing for a while now is keeping teams below 50%, 45%, which is what they've done in that last game. And Bradley Beal was phenomenal. And Bradley Beal was probably played, I've seen every one of Bradley Beal's games. That might have been the best defensive game I've ever seen him play. Mm-hmm. And he has blossomed into, got to be the top, one of the top two, three, two guards in the NBA.
You know, you looked at the bench, too, last night. Kelly Oubre hit a big three early in the game, had an exclamation dunk late in the game, but his defense was stellar. Bogdanovich played well. I thought he played well during the regular season, but last night he really stepped up. I think 18 points, 7 boards, something like that. How key is that for those guys, those role players, to step up and in a situation like Bogdanovich to contribute offensively to give them a third option behind Beal and John Wall?
It's huge. It's everything. You know, he's been cold, Bogdanovich, and we've all been waiting for him to kind of, you know, blossom a little bit, get his three-point shot back. I mean, he's been aggressive, but it's been the inability really to make shots, and we need him to extend, you know, the Hawks defense. He did it last night. And he was tremendous. I mean, he kind of got back to his old form, which is what we needed him to. And Otto Porter, again, stepped up and played well in that game. And his shot has disappeared. You know what's happening, Chris, is the Wizards are missing just a slew of uncontested jump shots. And in the playoffs, you can't do that. Yeah. So I'm hoping, you know, that tomorrow night's game they're going to be able to share the ball and bang in perimeter shots, because what's happening is the Hawks are packing it in, making it real difficult for John to, you know, get in the paint and drop those little pocket passes inside to whoever. It's become very difficult. So what they're allowing us to do is kick the ball on the perimeter and baiting us to shoot outside shots, and we haven't been able to make them.
Yeah, I know John Wall said he was working on his jump shot the last few days too, which improved definitely for Game 5 last night. Keith?
Glenn, just your thoughts on John Wall. I got my Sports Illustrated before. I was busy and I couldn't get a chance to read my Sports Illustrated, but John Wall was mentioned on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week. He is like the forgotten man in many senses. We hear obviously about LeBron, we hear about Harden, we hear about Westbrook, we hear about Durant, Curry. John Wall's had a very nice career. What are your thoughts on John, and does he need a long extended playoff run to maybe move up to that next pantheon of true stars in this league?
You know, winning is the elixir of everything that you do. So if the Wizards win and can make it, you know, like to the Eastern Conference Finals or continue to win, I think John's going to get the attention that he deserves. Like Bradley Beal, for me, I've been able to watch John evolve, develop, work on his deficiencies. He's had an elite year. He's, you know, an all-star year. He's been great. And when I look at the other elite point guards in the NBA, Steph Curry, Chris Paul, Isaiah Thomas of Boston, Damian Lillard, you know, and there's a lot of them. He, to me, is a combination of all of their strengths packed into one. So he's, you know, the game has slowed down for him, guys. He's playing in multiple speeds for the first time, and he's doing things in a slower fashion, which is really helping him. His basketball IQ is off the charts. He's not a good passer. He's a great passer. And to me, you know, if the Wizards move on and charge on in the playoffs, he'll get the recognition.
Glenn, I'm just curious, and every time we talk to one of our major media stars from Washington, I ask this question. What's the atmosphere like? How much are the fans getting behind this team? I mean, I would imagine that Washington fan base in general, the sports fan base, a little bit leery, a little bit frustrated. We've had some great regular seasons, can't seem to break through. What are your thoughts on the atmosphere? If they come back to a Game 7, will that be a dynamite atmosphere and give them a big edge in Game 7 if it comes down to a Game 7?
Yeah, I mean, look at how many wins they've had at Verizon Center this year. It's over 30. So, I mean, they were tremendous at home this year. The fan base is behind this team big time. Last night's game was electric. The fans were behind the team. They were loud. They're knowledgeable basketball fans. So, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping there is no Game 7. But if there is, I'm hoping that the fans will, you know, basically do what they did in Game 5, which was, you know, be loud and get behind this team. And this is a team that likes to play at home. So, you know, I think the fan base is itching. Are they leery? Sure, they're leery. I mean, you know, what fan base isn't? You know, I go around. It's, the funny thing is I travel with the team. I talk to, you know, broadcasters and coaches. You know, everybody's in the same boat. You know, all the fan base says, well, we're leery. We don't know. You know, we're not sure. Everybody's kind of, you know, feels the same way.
Well, the only two differences might be in Golden State, where there's an expectation they're going to win, and Cleveland, because of LeBron, he's always gets you to the finals at least. Maybe they're a little bit more relaxed there. But your thoughts on this team's chances of not only winning the series but making the run and maybe the Eastern crown?
You know, they have as good of a chance as anybody. You know, Cleveland doesn't match up with the Wizards very well. So I wouldn't mind playing Cleveland, although, you know, with LeBron, you know, he kind of skews everything because he's that good. You know, you put LeBron on any team, they're going to be that good. So I think you're right with what you're saying with Golden State and Cleveland. But, you know, you talk to those guys, I mean, they're all, you know, well, there's deficiencies. Cleveland's defense isn't great. You know, Golden State might be the anomaly because Durant is back. You know, but they're loaded. I mean, these are teams that go over the luxury tax to get as many players as superstars as they can. So, you know, the fan base should feel that way. But to some degree, maybe there's a lot of pressure. Who knows? You know, we would be like the underdog, and we're going to be the underdog in the playoffs, even in Boston.
Yeah.
If we play Boston next, so I kind of like where we are. I like what we can do. And I like our chances to even win the Eastern Conference.
Glenn Kontzer, our special guest, Wizards announcer and NBA analyst. One player I wanted to ask you about, everyone knew about Hardaway and Howard and Millsap coming into the series, but even more so last night, Dennis Schroeder really impressed me. I mean, he was one of the guys that I was hoping when the Wizards had that lead and they had that possession, and they took a lot of time running that those last couple plays, but I was really leery of him. What are your thoughts on him, and what are the Wizards have to do to try to contain him in Game 6?
You know, he's grown up really right in front of our eyes. He's a young player from Germany. He's German, you know, learning the NBA. He's crazy skilled. You know, he's more of a scoring point guard than playmaking point guard, but he can do both. And he's improving, like, dramatically in front of our eyes. He was 5 of 6 yesterday from three, and I'm not sure how many games he shot that well from three. So, you know, he's tough to guard, man. He goes by you. You know, he gets that inside shoulder. He's tough to defend. And when he gets to the paint, you know, he kind of reminds me of Kemba a little bit in Charlotte when Kemba was a young player. So, you know, he's tough to guard, man. Like, I don't think anyone expected him to be playing at this level that he's playing in, and he's doing it in the playoffs. So, a lot of people thought even last year he was a backup, but he's proven that he's not. And, you know, to stopping him is you got to pick your poison, and you got to take his temperature. You know, he's not going to shoot 5 of 6 every game from three. That's the type of guy that you got to, you know, you got to keep in front. You got to pack it in. You got to build a wall around him so he doesn't blow by guys, and you got to be ready to help. And if he beats you from three, you know, you pick your poison, so be it.
All right, Glenn, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck in Game 6 and hopefully another series to talk about then after it. And as you said, hopefully they don't have to worry about a Game 7 in Washington.
There you go. Same here.
All right, Glenn, thanks again so much for your time and continued success to you.
Thank you. Right.
Glenn Kanzer, the Wizards announcer, kind enough to join us on tonight's Sports Talk. Keith, final 30 seconds of the program, NFL draft tonight. Are you excited for round one after all this hype, weeks and weeks of talk and predictions?
No, I'm not, because I'm a Rams fan and we don't pick till Friday. You know, so no, I'm not that overly excited. But look, it's great for – I want to see how it all turns out in Philadelphia. There's been a lot of hoopla, obviously. It's great for the city. Obviously, a lot of pressure on the Eagles to deliver a great pick here. But it's great to have it in the city of brotherly love. And it's an exciting time. The Phillies have won 6 in a row. And, you know, it's kind of liven up the spring here without the Sixers and the Flyers in the playoffs.
Worst-case scenario, they won't screw it up as bad as the Browns have.
That's well,
or the Rams or the Eagles. Or the
never screw it up like the Browns have. So, it's exciting, and I can't wait to get to it. I'm sure the picks are going to start at 8 o'clock, right?
8 o'clock,
so
yep.
I got an hour to get home and get my popcorn. So.
All right. So we'll be back with another live edition of RCN Sports Talk next week. Until then, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.